Welcome to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your week. We're in mid-August. Time is flying by. I know many of you are getting, you know, your kids back in school. Many of you are winding down the summer, getting ready for the fall. It's an exciting time of year sports-wise. The Major League Baseball season is winding up. Plenty of exciting races. We've got football right around the corner when it comes to basketball. We've got the FIBA World Cup. We've got the Women's World Cup going on right now. The WNBA season. So much going on in a month that typically is pretty slow when it comes to other months sports-wise. But there's plenty of exciting stuff going on. And though the Grizzlies season is still a few months away, there's still some exciting things to really dive into. And that's what we're going to do on today's edition of GBB Live. Of course, my name is Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. And you can find all the great content from Bluff City Media as well as Grizzly Bear Blues free on all podcast networks. Grizzly Bear Blues, you've got the 901 Grizz podcast. You've got the Next Gen podcast, the Core 4, Free Basketball. So many great podcasts for you to enjoy about the Memphis Grizzlies. But also the Memphis sports in general, all the great coverage of the Memphis Tigers and each and every sport that they play. If it comes to Memphis sports, there's no better place to get the latest news and analysis than BluffCityMedia.co. Make sure to become an insider today. Get in the Discord chat with all of us to be able to talk about the latest stuff when it comes to Memphis sports and check out the latest analysis as well. So again, being in August, I'm not going to repeat myself. You know, we know that this is a slow time of the NBA calendar, but this year we do have a unique thing, and we do have a unique event in terms of the fact that it's every 4 years that allows for us to enjoy some of the best players in the world representing their countries on an international stage. And of course, this year, for the Grizzlies in particular, that comes in the form of Jaren Jackson Jr. for Team USA, as well as Santi Aldama for Team Spain. And we got no better example of that. There was no better setup for that than yesterday. Of course, Team Spain, who right now is ranked as the number one international team in the world when it comes to basketball, playing against the United States. Now, I'm going to be honest, and, you know, I don't think I'm biased. I don't think that, you know, this is any far-fetched opinion here. I think that the United States is the deepest, most talented team that's going to be in the FIBA World Cup. That's usually the case when it comes to these international competitions, whether it's the Olympics, what have you. When it comes to international competition, the United States typically is the deepest, most talented team. But the advantage that several of these other teams have is through playing European basketball, South American basketball, what have you. They more frequently play as a team, and that team dynamic certainly can make things tough at times on the, you know, Team USA. Of course, if you've not seen the Redeem Team documentary, I would highly recommend it. You know, just since 2000, the Team USA has had its ups and downs. Plenty of success, but also some disappointment. So the hope is that this version of Team USA will be able to find their stride and get the job done during the 2023 FIBA World Cup. But a couple of things that stood out in the matchup is that Jaren Jackson Jr. and Santi Aldama are very critical components to their respective teams' front courts. Jaren Jackson Jr. is the starting big for Team USA. And what stood out to me in yesterday's game, what was amazing to see and awesome to see, the number one team in the world, the number one international team right now in the world, Spain, their major focus when it came to running their offense was getting Jaren Jackson Jr. away from their inside players. If you watched the game yesterday during the exhibition, there was just as much effort screening off ball to try to free some of the Spanish bigs away from Jaren Jackson Jr. as there was trying to help out the ball handler get free. Now, a reason why that could be is because that is a strength of the Spanish national team. They are about as, when it comes to passing on the perimeter, good shooting, just good team chemistry, Spain is about as good as it gets. Their strength is on the perimeter. Obviously, that was shown by the fact that they were able to stay in the game by consistently hitting big threes. But where they are weak is that there's not too much talent in terms of, you know, what other teams can feature. There's talent, but not to the level that other teams have. For instance, Team USA, they definitely had the advantage down low, especially when it came to Jaren Jackson Jr., and you could see that occasionally. Team Spain would be able to get into the lane and hit one of those floaters above Jaren. But besides that, Jaren made some key plays defensively that led to quick and easy buckets for Team USA. And of course, when Spain was in the half court, they put all that effort to try to free up their men down low. But Jaren was still able to get the job done and keep the paint pretty much clean when it came to Spain not being able to consistently find ways to score inside the paint. The one person that did consistently find some scoring opportunities was Santi Aldama. We talk about for Jaren Jackson Jr., his main focus is going to be to anchor the defense and be the inside presence for Team USA. I know that Team USA is probably going to play a lot of isolation. They're probably going to rely on their perimeter players, you know, Tyrese Halliburton, Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards, and others. Those are going to be their primary scoring options, but if they need to change it up a bit, Jaren Jackson Jr. should be able to find some capabilities. The other really fun aspect, before we get to Santi Aldama, that stood out about Jaren Jackson Jr. is that he had plenty of opportunities at the top of the key to continue to basically continue the flow of the offense. He's getting some practice decision making when it comes to passing at the top of the key. He'll pass off to one of his perimeter players, go set a screen, and then roll either to the basket or perhaps do a pick and pop. That's opening up the off-ball capabilities of Jaren on offense, which should just continue to more and more help evolve his offense as time goes on. So a lot of good things seen from Jaren Jackson Jr. in yesterday's game with Team USA versus Team Spain. And for Santi Aldama, one of the biggest things that stood out was that, yes, to me, he's probably the most effective big right now for Team Spain. He showed some good things on offense. He showed some on defense. He showed some good creativity on offense, being able, a lot like Jaren, to go out and be able to hit shots on the perimeter, being able to make shots down low. One big aspect of success through the first couple of games that we've seen Santi Aldama play in a big role for Team Spain, he seems to be in the right place at the right time when it comes to scoring opportunities or making positive plays. He seems to be in that position quite a bit. That's the evolution of his game. That comes from being, you know, Mr. Do-It-All when he was in college. That comes from accepting bigger roles with the Grizzlies, and that comes from his international play from a young age in Europe. Santi Aldama is showing a lot of good things for Team Spain, and a lot of it is him showing his instinct, showing his basketball IQ, being at the right place at the right time, and being able to make positive plays. Even if it doesn't involve scoring, Santi Aldama is continuing to make positive plays. So that's why it's going to be so much fun through this month of August. We still got a little bit of time before the actual FIBA World Cup occurs, but for Team Spain and Team USA to have the success that they want to have, Santi Aldama and Jaren Jackson Jr. are both going to have to play critical roles in making sure that the front courts of both teams are effective, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see. Now, what does this mean in terms of what should happen from this going into the season for the Grizzlies? This is a wave of momentum, and the Grizzlies have every reason to ride that wave, because when it comes to the start of the season, the Grizzlies are going to have some injury questions to answer when it comes to their front court. They're going to need to rely on shooting with the fact that Ja Morant will not be playing for 25 games. And it's going to make sense for the Grizzlies to give their young guys some run. And I know that a lot of the focus for the Grizzlies is on their young combo forwards. Jake LaRavia, Zaire Williams, David Roddy, others. What will they do? Who of them will take a Santi-type leap like Santi Aldama took last year? But there's also the point of really featuring Santi so he can sustain and continue to progress, continue to build off the success that he had last year. The best way for him to do that is to play frequently with Jaren Jackson Jr. That's where the momentum that comes off this FIBA World Cup should really be a central focus for this Grizzlies team. I'm going to be honest with you. When it comes to all the potential duos play with each other to start the season for the Grizzlies, the one that I am the most excited about is the Jaren Jackson Jr. Santi Aldama combination that can really open up a lot of potential for the Grizzlies when it comes to them getting consistent with their shoot. Of course, a big determining factor in that occurring will be the health of Steven Adams. Is he going to be able to start the season and get right back into playing at the level that he was before he got injured in January of 2023? I think that there's a good chance Steven Adams starts the season for the Grizzlies in a good spot, but I do think he's going to have to ramp up his ability to play long minutes when it comes to basketball. So if that's the case, I definitely think that the duo, the front court duo with the most upside for this Grizzlies team of any combination of Jaren Jackson Jr., Xavier Tillman, Santi Aldama, and Jr. I think if you know you take away the combination of Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson Jr., you need to feature Jaren and Santi. Because when it comes to deep ends, listen, I don't think that they're as good as Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson Jr. are together because of Steven's rebounding, physical play, rim protection, and obviously Jaren being, you know, one of, if not the best defensive players in the NBA. But Santi Aldama can hold his own as a rim protector. He can hold his own as a defensive rebounder. I think that he has a little bit better capability of getting out and being able to guard someone on the perimeter, at least for a few moments, than Steven Adams does. Santi Aldama can hold his own. His basketball IQ, his instinct, can allow for him to hold his own at least a little bit. I know it didn't show that much in the playoffs, but I do think that he can hold his own at least for short spurts in the game that can allow for Jaren to continue his, you know, where he's at his best as a roamer protecting the rim, but also disrupting plays elsewhere on the perimeter, you know, different actions that the Grizzlies will see when they're playing defense. I think that the Grizzlies, numbers suggest that when Santi Aldama and Jaren Jackson Jr. are in the game together, the Grizzlies' defense remains elite. So I think that the Grizzlies should put a lot of emphasis on that and trust that to continue and use that combination of Jaren and Santi for longer periods of time. Now, there's also the aspect of could Santi play the 3, Jaren play the 4, Steven Adams play the 5? Maybe. I think that that probably has a bit shorter shelf life than other lineups and the Grizzlies going small on the perimeter and trusting Santi and Jaren on the front court. I know that their rebounding may not be a strength of that, but defensively, I think they can hold their own. But the big thing about this team, the big thing that stands out about the Grizzlies is them making decisions when it comes to lineups that's going to open up their offense. And that's really where the production of the lineups that feature Santi and Jaren have the potential to stand out. It shows over at Cleaning the Glass, lineups that featured Jaren and Santi on the court together were just absolutely wonderful in terms of, you know, the net rating for those lineups was above a positive 20. When you throw Luke Kennard or Desmond Bane, though the sample sizes are pretty small, the numbers get even better. The Grizzlies having Santi and Jaren on the court together to go along with their front court, it opens up the shooting. We know that Taylor Jenkins has long wanted to have a reliable front court mate to put with Jaren Jackson Jr. to really where he can play that five-out type offense where moving the ball around can open up shots on the perimeter, and he's got 4 to 5 guys on the court who are confident taking that shot. We know that he loves for his fours to get open for those corner threes, to be a corner three outlet as the Grizzlies go into the paint. The paint production for the Grizzlies is going to go down without Ja Morant. That's not anything negative towards Memphis. That just is a compliment to the style of play that makes Ja Morant so unique. So they're going to have to be more consistent when it comes to finding open shots and converting them as they navigate through this opening part of the schedule without Ja. The way to do that is to have as many shooters on the court for as long as possible, and a way to do that is really featuring a Jaren Jackson Jr. and Santi Aldama duo in the front court. I know I may be over-exaggerating. Now, I may be putting too much faith in just how awesome that combination could be, but I definitely think the potential was there, and I think that the best way for the Grizzlies to make the most of the experiences that Jaren Jackson Jr. and Santi Aldama are having right now is to feature them as a duo as the season comes closer into focus. But speaking of focus, let's shift it to another awesome aspect of this past weekend, and that was the enshrinement of the 2023 NBA Hall of Fame class, which in and of itself had plenty of international flavor and just so much talent involved, so much greatness involved with this Hall of Fame class. Of course, headlined by many notable names that have been such integral parts of the NBA over the past generation. Dirk Nowitzki, Tony Parker, Dwayne Wade, Pau Gasol, and of course, in my opinion, the best coach in NBA history. Well, one of, if not the best coaches in NBA history, Greg Popovich. But one thing that stood out about this international class, again, is the international impact that came from this class. You can make the argument that the best player in NBA history from France, Germany, as well as Spain, were enshrined into the Hall of Fame in this class. And I don't think that you get much argument for that being the case. But of course, the one player that stood out from this class that has ties to the Grizzlies is Pau Gasol. And it was great to see Pau Gasol make mention of the Grizzlies. Make sure to point out his time with the Grizzlies, as that's where he got his start in the NBA. Now, I'll be honest. I think Pau Gasol himself, I think anybody who follows the NBA, if you were to ask them what was the most significant span of Pau Gasol's career, it was his time with the Lakers. Obviously, that's the case with how important of a role he played in their two championships that he won with them. Obviously, his relationship with Kobe Bryant, that's been put into the spotlight after Kobe Bryant's untimely and unfortunate death a few years ago. And they've already retired his number. The peak of Pau's career easily could be shown to be with the Lakers. But in my opinion, that should not take away from how significant Pau Gasol was during his time with the Grizzlies. Now, I know that Pau himself can be very polarizing in terms of how his time with the Grizzlies should be remembered. He did not have the best of exits. His time with the Grizzlies did not have the best of ends. But, you know, in time, that's been buried. That's, you know, that's no longer really a point of negativity for Pau and the franchise and so on and so forth. But beyond the stats, you know, I've mentioned that I feel that Pau Gasol, he's the most significant talent in terms of career production that has played a good part of his career and his best playing days in Memphis with the Grizzlies. You could, in terms of the Grizzlies themselves, Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph and Mike Conley, they may be more significant in terms of what they did for the Grizzlies, but for a player, but of all the players that have played, you know, multiple seasons, had success in a Grizzlies uniform, though Pau may have had better days elsewhere, he's probably the best natural talent that's played in a Grizzlies uniform up until the Grizzlies drafted Ja Morant. And hey, potentially in time, we may be able to say the same thing about Jaren Jackson Jr. But set talent to the side, set production to the side, I feel the reason why, that there should truly be significance on Pau's time with the Grizzlies is because of what it established here in Memphis. The first major move, the first true building block for the Grizzlies roster once they came to Memphis was trading the player that had been by far their best player in Vancouver, Shareep Abdur-Rahim, trading him to Atlanta and getting the rights to Pau Gasol in the 2001 draft. Of course, Pau Gasol would go on to win Rookie of the Year. He would go on to establish himself as an elite big in the NBA. And the reason why that was significant was because in terms of Memphis, when there were a lot of questions about could the Grizzlies last in a market like Memphis, Pau Gasol having the immediate and initial success that he did in his career in a Grizzlies uniform, it was monumental. Number one, I mean, it showed that the Grizzlies could draft a talent and actually develop it into an elite talent. And from that, they could use that development to build a sustainable winner. I know that the Grizzlies didn't win a playoff game in three straight playoff appearances, but at the very least, they made the playoff three straight times. That was a stark contrast from anything they had ever got close to doing in Vancouver and their few years in Memphis. And at the center of that was Pau Gasol. So he showed that this Grizzlies franchise could bring in a talent and help that talent realize their ceiling. Maybe help that talent realize a ceiling even higher than many had thought when it came to Pau Gasol's production in Memphis. It also proved the point that the Grizzlies could do that with an international talent. You know, Pau Gasol, I don't think that he has, you know, as big of an influence or impact as like a Dirk Nowitzki or maybe others when it comes to the flow of European and international talent that's happened over the past quarter century. But he's certainly from the early parts of that flow of international talent over to the NBA. From two decades ago, he certainly has had one of the best careers of international talent. And I definitely think that that is something that is significant. Pau Gasol being a traditional big, but a crafty big as well, coming over from Europe and having the immediate success that he did, that played a big role, along with Nowitzki, of showing just how much European talent was worth investing in. And as we see, teams across the NBA now are doing that year by year. But the biggest thing of all, again, is the fact that Pau Gasol proved that a sustainable winner could be created in Memphis and that it could be maintained. Obviously, his trade to the Lakers led to the Grizzlies getting his brother Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol played an integral part in the core four. So I'm not putting all the success that the Grizzlies have had during franchise history on Pau Gasol. I'm not even saying that he's the most important piece of history for the Grizzlies. He's not. But I will say that his importance certainly should continue to be recognized because he was the first true star that this franchise had in Memphis, and he helped to check a lot of boxes and build a lot of the foundation that helped to support the Grizzlies continuing to grow as a franchise and even is impacting them being a pretty sustainable winner now in terms of their success. So congratulations to Paul Gasol. Congratulations to Dirk, D-Wade, Tony Parker, as well as Greg Popovich. Awesome to see all those great players finally get their just due and be enshrined forever in the Basketball Hall of Fame. The final thing that I want to kind of hit on is something that we'll break down more later on this week. But the 2023-2024 NBA schedule likely is going to come out this week. If you go back to the 2022 calendar, it was Wednesday, August 17th, that the schedule was released. Well, obviously, that day is a bit further, but it was this week last year that the NBA schedule was released. We had some, you know, a few leaks. We had a few nuggets of information that gave us an understanding of what games would happen on opening night, what games would happen on Christmas Day. We'll start seeing leaks about different matchups that will happen in terms of big moments during the season. But I think that it's fair to say, with the fact that the Grizzlies didn't get a Christmas game, with the fact that the Grizzlies aren't being featured on opening night, the Grizzlies probably are not going to be as featured in the national spotlight this year as they were last year. And I'm going to be honest with you, I am perfectly fine with that. One of the biggest difference between the Grizzlies being the darlings of the NBA 2 years ago and all the drama that they dealt with last year is that 2 years ago, the Grizzlies were fully in control of creating their own storylines and validating them. Because no one expected for the Grizzlies to have the success that they did, so nobody created expectations. Nobody created storylines that the Grizzlies had to live up to. But after the season that they had 2 years ago, those storylines were created last year. And unfortunately, more storylines were created on and off the court that weren't the most positive at times for the Grizzlies. Now, those headlines that are created, you know, that others are creating, they're going to be there. They're going to be there, and they're going to get louder and more frequent with each and every game that passes getting closer to Ja Morant returning. But I think that as the Grizzlies are not in the national spotlight as much, they're not in, you know, they don't have primetime games as much, they don't have nationally televised games as much, what have you, I think it's perfectly fine, and I think the Grizzlies are perfectly fine with that. Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane, everyone has talked about this team knows from their experience last year, they know how much it hurt to go through all that and, you know, to obviously come short of their expectations in the playoffs. They know the only way that they're going to make the most of that experience is to get focused about what matters, get focused back on the court, and let all the other noise subside and take care of itself. And through that, that's what allows for this team to be in a good position to once again create its own storylines and validate them. What do I mean by creating its own storylines? Well, for instance, Marcus Smart coming into the equation. The Grizzlies can truly establish with him and Jaren Jackson and others on the court, they can establish early on, without a doubt, they are the one team defensively that nobody wants to play because of how good they are. That's especially true if Steven Adams will be healthy. That's a storyline that this team can create. Another storyline this team can create is that will Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane sustain their ascension to stardom in the NBA? The opportunity is going to be there. They were able to do it when Ja was not as available during March of last year as he was earlier in the year. Those two players were able to stand out as stars. They could do it once again, and then once Ja returns, you've got three legitimate stars that can lead this team moving on, hopefully, with no further distractions. That's another storyline that can create and validate. Of course, the young Grizzlies, Santi Aldama, sustaining his success for last year. That will be a storyline. The young combo forwards, Laravia, Williams, and Roddy, and others, those players being able to step up, maybe one or two of them having a leap in production. That will be a storyline to follow. Can the Grizzlies continue to be as dominant at home as they were last year, but also become much more reliable on the road, like they were really successful doing as they were ascending to a sustainable winner 2-3 years ago? That's a storyline that the Grizzlies can create and validate. My point is, is that the Grizzlies are going to be more focused on themselves. They want to continue to talk trash. They want to continue to have fun. By all means, let them. I'm, again, a full believer of this Grizzlies team doing whatever they need to be them true selves, because that's going to be the best opportunity for them to have success. But this Grizzlies team, as we learn more and more about the schedule, if there's less nationally televised games, not as much attention on them, great. I think that that is a great setup for them to create their own storylines this year, them more be in more control of their success and making the most of it. I think that's going to be a key component to them getting back on track and really continuing to ascend as being a true contender for an NBA title in the coming years. That opportunity is definitely there for them. Many may not believe it, especially with Ja Morant being out for basically a third of the season, but this Grizzlies team is more than capable of once again truly emerging as one of the best teams in the NBA's Western Conference. Can't thank you enough for joining us here on this edition of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. Again, a few more games for Team USA and Team Spain leading up to the 2023 FIBA World Cup starting on August 25th. Make sure you enjoy all of it. It's a very close setup to the Soccer World Cup for the men or the Women's World Cup that's going on right now, so make sure you tune into all the great action. Also, make sure you check out BluffCityMedia.co, the best spot when it comes to Memphis sports in written, audio, visual, digital content. All of it's available to you. All great podcasts are available to you as well. You can check them all out on YouTube, the Grizzly Bear Blues podcast feed, as well as the Bluff City Media podcast feed. My name's Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. Until next time, go Grizzlies. We'll talk to you again soon here on GBB Live.